good. It was good. It was motherfucking goody. Just came in the back with my tea of the day. Welcome to season 4, episode 14. Cuatro y quince. No, that's 15. Uno cuatro? No. That don't sound too right, but what's goody? I'm back with my tea of the day. I'm back with another episode. Thank you all for over 11,000 plays so far over everywhere. That is just an amazing thing. It really has been a whirlwind. It's been challenging. It's definitely had its ups and downs with podcasting, with putting myself out there, with not being vulnerable. You know what I mean? So I take breaks from time to time because sometimes I get in my head. Sometimes I don't know. I have so many things to talk about, but don't know what to talk about. Don't know how to narrow that down. And looking at the numbers sometimes can be discouraging, can be just put you in a bad mind space where it's like, do you know who the fuck you are? Do you know why you're doing this? Like, do you know why you were chosen to be on this motherfucking mic, to be on this platform, to tell your truth, to just have honest and deep conversations about topics that a lot of people deal with, and just going from there, if you know what I mean? Like, now it's become more clear to me. Where definitely take your time away, definitely take your time off, but when it's a conversation that needs to be had, don't be afraid to have it, regardlessly of what the situation is and how people may feel. You're here for a reason. Your voice is here for a reason. So I'm happy that I got over that for the most part. So let's get into some motherfucking current events. It's going to be some old stuff. It's going to be some new stuff. But let's start with Iran, because this is just so fresh in my mind, unfortunately, right now. And we have to protect our women. We have to protect our women's rights. We have to protect women in general. We was birthed for women. And a woman needs to be in the forefront of protection at all times and at all costs. So currently right now, so far there's been 7 deaths after a woman who decided to take off her hijab, hijab, Miss Asha Amin was murdered. And with her being murdered after taking off her hijab, it began an uproar. It began protesting across Iran, as they should, because how dare you tell me what the fuck I can and cannot wear. Like, yeah, that may be part of the religion there, but if I'm not following suit with that, it shouldn't be a problem, because I'm still listening to every other thing that I believe in. Yeah, I'm doing everything else that I believe in, everything else that's part of my religion, but if I want to take off my hijab, it's a problem? No, because you want to continue to dictate and control me, and that's not what we do. Like, I'm sorry for a man living in a dictatorship. Like, that should have been extinct a long time ago. Like, why do we still have dictatorships in any part of the world? Because clearly they don't work. That's one person leading everything instead of chains of people, different aspects of different avenues of people ruling a country, ruling a land. What if this one person over everything? This one person could be a Muslim on that day. This one person can just not know what the fuck their job is or give a fuck about their job. And that's the disconnect. That's where the problem lies. And that's where the problem will continue to lie until we motherfucking change dictatorship, because we don't want another Hitler. Like, Hitler was here for a reason. He showed us what the fuck we don't want. Trump was here for a reason. He showed us what the fuck we don't want. A lot of these people who fucked up different parts of the world were there for a reason, to show us what we don't want and what we can what we do not need to continue to have.
So
we need to be in an uproar with Iran. We need to help fight for their rights. We need to dethrone whoever is in charge and make this a democracy and not a dictatorship over there. And really protect people's lives, protect people's religion, protect people. Because it's not good. And it will never continue. It will never be good if we don't change the mindset, if we don't change the policies, if we don't change the rules, if we don't change the laws. Because the laws is some motherfucking shit. Unfortunately, John and James Woodson, they were twins. They loved to skate. Like, they were the skaters of the city. Like, everyone knew them. They were at every skate ring. They did their thing. They volunteered. And they were very active in the community. They volunteered and taught people how to skate. They met skates. They had, like, charities and all of this wonderful things. And, unfortunately, they were murdered in a drunk driving accident. So, after one day coming from the club, I was living their best life. And this drunk gentleman was driving as well. And was driving in the opposite direction. Or where the fuck he was supposed to be driving to. The opposite road. So he's driving into traffic at this point. And driving to them. And unfortunately, they did not make it. Unfortunately, they were dead on sight. And the person that was in this gentleman's car also died. So three people dead. Off of a person who wanted to drink and drive. We still get the concept of drinking and driving. Like, do we have to fucking spell it out for you? Do not drink and motherfucking drive. Like, it's so simple. Like, if you are drunk, if you are nice, if you are any sort of intoxicated, do not drive. Do not get behind the motherfucking wheel. Because that's going to be, that could easily be your last day, but you're putting everyone else in danger. Because of your negligence. Because of you thinking you're grown. Because you feel like you don't want to leave that car there. Because you don't want to spend a Uber money. Or whatever your logic you think is. It's stupid. And it's selfish as fuck. You're a selfish human being if you decide to get behind the wheel and drive. After being too drunk. Like, if you had a drink and you're going from point A to point B, okay. It's about not knowing your limit. It's about being dirty, too drunk. Well, you're slurring, you can't even fucking walk. You don't have eye-hand coordination. So why are you behind the motherfucking wheel? Like, know your limit. And know it well. Unfortunately, three killed, driver in hospital, and will be charged. So we're still waiting to see what happens. But he needs to be under the jail. He definitely needs to get years. Because you can't get these, you cannot get these three people back. So he needs to do time. Next thing. Piper Lewis is a 17-year-old girl from Iowa. And she is ordered to pay $150,000 to Mr. Zachary Brooks' family. So here's some backstory. So the year was 2020. And she stabbed Zachary Brooks for raping her. She pleaded guilty to manslaughter and a woeful yeah, woefulness to man, for manslaughter. So, sentenced to 3 years of probation with a tracking monitor. Mind you, she's 17 years old. So, like I said about laws and how they need to be broken, how they need to be revised, how they need to most likely change, and that's everywhere. Yeah. Just like how you can overturn a law that's been in place for women for centuries now. And not giving them the right to have abortions and all of this stuff. Planned childhood and all of this stuff. So this law, in 1997, a law requires people convicted of homicide or manslaughter to pay $150,000. So that's the law in Iowa. That's the law. So unfortunately, since she falls under the homicide umbrella, she has to pay this $150,000. Where is a 17-year-old girl supposed to get this money? Especially if she's not doing anything illegal. But then, how is she in Washington getting this money if she literally stabbed this person to death for raping her? Like, where is her responsibility? Like, where is her responsibility? Like, where is her protection? How is she feeling protected in this aspect? She's a victim. Yes, you know what she did was wrong, but she's a victim. And you're traumatizing a victim. You're not even giving this girl some help. So, Iowa doesn't have a safe harbor law that protects people who commit crimes after being trafficked and sexually abused. So, a GoFundMe page was created and she raised over $300,000, which is an amazing thing. Thank y'all for supporting Miss Piper. Thank you for showing humility and grace and humanity and mankind. Because she is a victim. Whether she's treated as a victim or not, she's a victim. Like, anyone in their right mind is going to go off at some point of time. If they've been trafficked for years at a young age. Trafficked for drugs, for money, for whatever. And within trafficking, 9 times out of 10, you're being sexually abused. So now, your mentality's fucked up. You're being abused without your will. You're not wrongfully giving them your body. Your body's being taken from you every time. Without protection. And one day you will snap, just like she did. One day you say, you were saved. Today's the day. Today I'm praying for my life. Because I don't know what this person's going to do to me. So within this time, she's convicted because this gentleman was asleep. And she stabbed him multiple times. I don't care if you're asleep or you're not asleep. I don't feel protected around you. And I know if I try to leave, I'm going to die. I know however you look at it. If I don't stay here and do what you ask me to do until you take me off to the next highest bidder, I'm going to die. Or I'm going to continue to be molested and raped and abused. And I'm going to continue to be trafficked. I'm going to end up having kids. I could either contract a whole bunch of STDs, HIV, everything. And my mental health is not there. Like, no one's thinking about this girl's mental health. And that's the fucked up part. Like, she's done with this probation, now she has an ankle monitor. For ultimately protecting herself, for ultimately getting out of something she has to get out of. I hope and pray that she receives the help that she deserves and that she is supposed to have. I hope she gets that. Next topic. Mr. Travis Dunbar murdered 3 men and injured 1. So this was in August. No. This was like July-ish. So we're coming out the club in Chicago, and these four gentlemen is having an altercation, an argument with this gentleman coming outside the club. Yes, this is a gay club. And clearly Mr. Travis Dunbar was upset and outraged, whatever that altercation was. And he decided to get in his car, and he decided to put his foot on the gas and run these gentlemen over. And before driving over these gentlemen, says, "I got something for you. I got something for you, motherfuckers." So these are the words. These are the last words these three babies heard ever. "I got something for you, motherfuckers." This is giving trade so bad. This is giving a person who, unfortunately, probably was not okay with his sexuality. He was very, probably, DL. He was very closeted, if I may say so myself. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm quite sure that if we're having an argument, and now it leads you to get in your car to run me over, that says a lot. That's saying something without saying nothing at all. And when are we going to, like, again, another car situation? So, rest in peace to these three babies that never made it out of their 20s. And Devante, Viv Exter, Donald Yui, Jalen Osley, 27, 25, and 23. Lives was taken from us. Say their name. Say their name. Say it loud. Donna James Woodson. Say their names as well. And I hope Charlie McKinney, the survivor of this incident, is seeking help, is getting help. Because I can just only imagine what he's dealing with from day to day. Knowing that he was in this horrific scene that played out right in front of his eyes. And to know that he is the only survivor besides the person who did this act. Of course he has survivors from this. Of course he unfortunately may wish he died as well with his friends. We don't know what this baby's mental is at this moment. We don't know what he's dealing with at this moment. And I just hope that he's getting help as well. That he's seeking help. That he's speaking about his experience and his experiences, that he literally is getting help. Yes, that was in August. This happened in June, this next incident. Mr. Jalen Walker, June 27th, exactly, murdered by police. Another person murdered by the police. We're still not getting out of this story. We're still not getting out of this headline. We're still not being able to fully and wholeheartedly trust the police. So, his dead body was handcuffed to the car when his remains was taken to the coroner's office. The police decided to, as they always do, I thought he had a gun. So supposedly, fled the scene of a traffic light, and they had to chase him for 18 minutes. This is what the police has said. This is the police's statement. The police also said that during this high-speed chase, in their words, that there was gunshots that came out of his car. But there was no evidence that produced that. There was no gun fragments that was coming out. There was nothing that happened. So, it was 8-1. Firing 60 shots. So, 60 gunshots wounds. Jalen Walker received 60 from 8 police officers. So that's 8 guns shooting this man 60 times. Over 60. Because we have to account for the ones that did not hit him. If this is not excessive force, I don't know what is. If this is in your handbook, when you go to the police academy and you sign up for it, you said, you know what? I want to be a police officer. I'm going to go through these trainings. I'm going to go through these desk jobs. I'm going to go through the physical training. I'm going to go through the psych eval. I'm going to do all of this stuff because I want to protect and save my community. Ooh, it feels so good when I save. I want to protect and save them. And then I found a young man who did absolutely nothing but be black in a car. Now, you didn't even let him know that you were trying to stop him. However, whether you were trying to stop him, whether he was in the right or in the wrong in that situation, regardless, he does not give you the right to pull out your service weapon instead of talking to him, figuring out what's going on, letting him know why he's being stopped. None of these happened. So no rights was read. All we know is that Mr. Jalen Walker, on June 27th, has 6 gunshot wounds in his body. 60. So these officers murdered this gentleman in cold blood. And on the cherry on top of that, the injury to that motherfucking insult is that they handcuffed this person, this dead body, to the car. Like he was going somewhere. To be delivered to the sheriff's office. I'm confused. How that happened? Why are we handcuffing a dead body to a car? So did we handcuff him to the inside or the outside? So you drove with the dead body? Like, that makes any fucking sense? Can't be. Never in a million years could that ever be okay. And from my knowledge, they got put on death leave. Another instance where these cops were not tried and prosecuted one time. You took a life. 60 bullets. And I'm aware of, you happen to produce evidence that you were in the right. With gun fragments, with gun placement, with video cam, with all of these instances, how were they in the right? How are they just getting desk jobs? How are they just being able to push papers and so keep their pension? How are they still walking these motherfucking streets like it's okay? Because it's not okay. I don't condone that. That is, no. Absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely the fuck not. That's what we're not going to do. So, let's say Jalen Walker's name is wrong. Because he was taken from us. With no regard no remorse for his motherfucking life. His life did not matter that day. Two more things. It was this girl getting off the school bus. I've seen this video. It was on YouTube. No, not YouTube. It was on Instagram. This black girl was getting off the school bus. Her book bag got stuck on the door in the school bus. So she was outside, the book bag was stuck in the door. I'm quite sure, as a bus driver, any bus driver, you would feel that the door's not fully closing the way it's supposed. You should be able to feel that. Right? Wrong. So, the girl was literally dragging this girl's body to the next stop, wherever that is. It's this white gentleman, white bus driver, white gentleman who's standing up. Don't know what his job was, but looked down at the door while she's driving and said absolutely the fuck nothing. So he was okay with this black girl being driven from point A to point B. He was okay with that. He did not give a fuck and saying, oh my gosh, stop the bus. This girl stuck in the bus. Nothing happened. And then she looks down and notices the same motherfucking thing. And nothing the fuck happened. Where the outrage for this girl? Where the lawsuits for this girl? Where is her peace of mind? Where is her seeking help? Where is her mental health check? Because she's not going to be okay. That's traumatizing. That is a traumatizing experience. Especially just growing up as an adult, knowing what the fuck is happening and doing nothing. Being okay with that. We don't know what injuries she could have told because of that. Do you know how fast a bus can drive? You know how small she was? And your two adults did absolutely nothing. Fucked up. I hope her mother sues. I hope her parents sues. I hope her parents get a large lump sum as well. But my main focus is the baby. How is she doing? What is her well-being like at this particular moment? Yesterday, I did see another traumatizing video. It was this gentleman off of TikTok who put out this video of him almost wanting to kill his wife that day. He almost took his life because he was tired of being tired. He was sick and tired of being tired. He said it wasn't a call for help, but it was a call for help. But it was just a call, an awakening of the injustice that people deal with and people have been dealing with for generations, and him feeling so stuck and breaking his generational curses within his family, within our community. There's so many generational curses within our community that's not talked about, that's swept under the rug. It's not funny. It's tiring. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to just wake up being black. It's exhausting to wake up being a black man walking in to America, having to be the breadwinner, having to be the strong, macho man, when all you want to do is cry. But you can't cry because you have to be strong. You have to be a man. Going into society, being looked at as a target because you're black. Being looked at as a sexual object in some aspects because you're black and because you could be muscular or just the skin tone. Being the first person to graduate high school, to be the first person to graduate college, like those are generational curses that plagues us. Cause now we're like that one token black person for the family. That's a lot to hold on to. That's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to mentally just endure and then take day after day. Or feeling like nothing's going to change. And that is the sad part about it. When you feel like nothing's going to change. When you feel like you're literally at your wit's end. It's sad. It's unfortunate. But my brother, we're not done fighting. We're not at the end of the road. And you're not at the end of your road. You have so much more to do. You have so much more to conquer. You have so much more to express, to talk about, to experience, and to share your experiences. You have so much more to overcome. You have so much more of life to overcome. And it's sad because I felt that. I felt these emotions. I felt like giving up. I felt like ending my life on so many occasions. Like, I can just depict and remember certain different aspects, different years of my life. Where I said, you know what, Kimi, you know what, Akeem? I think it's time to go. I think everyone will be okay if I just go. I think everyone will be okay if I just end my life today. I would not have experienced the things I've experienced. I would not have been here to make it to 33, about to be 34 years old. I would not made it to be here to be able to forgive myself for the shit that I did. I would not be here to be able to forgive myself for allowing people to use and abuse me. I will not be here to sit here and be able to talk to you in this hills place that I am in, because I wouldn't have been here. Thank God he did not give me the mental capacity to be able to do that, to be able to pull that off. Because you have to have plans, that you have to have research or just have the materials at hand. And I was never put in a predicament where I knew I could do this. I've always thought of it when I was younger. I've always thought of it in my early adulthood. I just was never put in a predicament for that to be, for it to happen. And I'm thankful for that. But We're back. I'm just saying that. Look at my new artwork. It is every motherfucking thing. Thank y'all for just holding me down. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for telling a friend to tell a friend. Like, thank y'all for just being here with me. But I'm about to do what I do best. And I'll catch you in the next one. Thank you. This is episode 14 of season 4. Or, like, I've already been doing it since 2019, guys. Like, thank y'all. If you want to get on, hit me up on IG, Kimi Holder, on my Facebook, Kimi Holder, or my Facebook podcast page, Kimi's Tea of the Day. Or you can just go to kimistheoftheday.com and you can leave me a voice note, you can leave me an email, you can do anything you want to do to contact me. Laters.